You're listening to Resolution Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. If there ever was a national emergency in America, this is it. As the BLM and Jewish leftist revolution of scum burns and seizes our center cities and desecrates our people's monuments, as white men and women are attacked, now in the street, but soon, I predict, in their homes, the media owned and run by the billionaire Jews cheer the scum on and agitate them to further and greater outrages. The Jews' paid whores in public office sit on their hands and cluck about how the killers and scum are fighting for social justice and deserve our support. The scum pull a defenseless young white woman from her car, beat her senseless, and leave her for dead. And the police and the courts do nothing. A half dozen of the scum, who like to find defenseless white victims and swarm them, grab a white youth and try to set him on fire. And the police and the courts do nothing. And what do you think happens when the scum control half a square mile of an American city for weeks on end? What do you think happens there to young white women who won't give the knee? What do you think happens to young white women who do give the knee? And what do you think happens to white men who dare to defend their women? How do you think the sensitized courts and police are going to treat them? Repeat 1,000 times. No, 10,000 times, and you'll start to get a faint impression of what has come and what is coming. If ever there was a Reichstag fire moment in America, this is it. If ever there was a time for a patriotic government to assume extraordinary powers and put an end to the Jewish media that agitate the scum and mislead our people, to put an end to those scum who burn our cities and desecrate all that is holy, including our women and children, to put an end to the Middle Eastern tricksters who promise a workers' paradise if only you'll give us total power, but who deliver 100 million dead white people, and who then demonize and mass murder the white men who tried to stop the slaughter. If ever there was a time to crush that criminal, inhuman conspiracy, that time is now. The public support for such a termination with extreme prejudice would be overwhelming. The billionaire Jews' media lie. We, the decent white people of America, may be demoralized and timid and confused, but we are many. The scum are still few. If we do right, the day of the crushing would be celebrated as a holiday by our people for 10,000 years. Trump is not going to do this. Trump is a captive of the Jewish power structure, and it's probably pointless to debate whether he is a willing or unwilling captive. He said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, to great applause among the decent. But the looting started and continued and escalated to endless outrages on our heritage and on our innocence, which is where we are now, with the addition of neo-communist takeovers of parts of our cities. And yet, the shooting never started. Let me tell you, if we still had a government of our own, we could crush these pampered, tax money and bank money fueled, media favored scum in one day. CNN and CBS and ABC and NBC would fall and be nationalized the same day. Facebook, Twitter, they would be ours. And the filthy vermin would be overflowing on every outbound ship and plane they could commandeer, probably even Jeffrey Epstein's plane, as they scurried like roaches frightened by the light for temporary shelter in Israel. All that could be ours if we had a government of our own, which we do not now have. Giving us a government of our own again, giving us a state of our own again, and giving us our manhood again. These are the tasks the National Alliance has set for itself. A government of our own. Big government, too. Because it's got some very big jobs to do in the very near future, and some very big jobs it will have to continue to do for as long as we survive. That's a lesson we've learned from the American experiment. Thinking that we can have a minimal government and let private interests and racially alien interests own our mass media, our banks and financial institutions, and our means of social communication, has proven a disaster for us in the face of an intelligent, parasitic, infiltrating enemy and the traitors among our own people. We won't make that mistake again. A government that allows lots of economic liberty for our own people only, sure. A government that fosters a wide distribution of wealth along with freedom to innovate and prosper from one's innovation, absolutely. But allowing special privileges to those who do nothing but shuffle papers, make fictitious loans, sell out our people, buy legislators, and then try to genocide our race? Never. Allowing racial aliens to have any of our wealth, any of our power? Never. Instead of special favors, such predators that might still be reckless enough to sneak into our country and attempt such a thing will get capital punishment when we have a government of our own again. For our people to get to that point, the National Alliance needs a highly ramified infrastructure. We must have the competent people to take over and rule with an iron will all the management roles in all the media corporations of this country. The same is true of every government department, every military force and division of that force, and every major point of control of the economy and banking system. We must build a parallel society in which natural leaders among our people assume those roles in our racial community first, after proving their loyalty and competence and responsibility. We must have leaders in every field who regard their positions not as sinecures for private profit or personal power games, but as offices in a holy order whose acts and decisions will affect the destiny of our kind and of all life in the universe for all time to come. Only the National Alliance is doing this. We are just barely beginning, it is true. But even the greatest sages and leaders begin with a single cell. The universe began as a single point. The National Socialist German Workers' Party, which began 100 years ago with only 6 men, just 20 years later, changed the course of history and life forever, and almost won the first great battle in the war in which we are still engaged. I'll tell you some of the things we need at the National Alliance to get from here to there, to where we need to be. We need a $1,000 a month donation to fund the setting up and maintenance of a set of alternative servers in other countries, so when the Jewish pressure makes even the staunchest free speech hosting providers cave in, and when the First Amendment is finally scrapped in America, our internet presence won't go dark. We need a $500,000 a year donation so that we can really have the media operations we need, so we can take the pressure off of me and my family alone, so that I can direct a sizable and competent staff, and so I can publish and write the important books I need to create before I die, so we can have a daily video presence instead of just a weekly radio presence, so that our media can expand to include channels tailored to women, tailored to Second Amendment supporters, tailored to young people, etc., so we can issue press releases and demands and statements to public officials on a daily basis, and much, much more. We need 12 people a year or more to give us an annual $2,000 donation to get more books written, typeset, and in print. Nothing, not even new digital media, has the long-term, life-changing, and uncensorable impact of books. We need hundreds of members who take recruiting for the Alliance so seriously that it becomes an obsession, next to their families, the most important part of their daily lives. With men and women like that, those hundreds can become 1,000 in a year, 2,000 in 2 years, 16,000 in 5 years, perhaps more. With a mere 10,000 members paying just the minimum Alliance dues of $20 a month, the National Alliance would have a dues income of $2,400,000 a year. That could easily be doubled if some of those members set their voluntary dues a little higher, bought books from our bookstore, and donated more to special projects. It could be multiplied by 10 if a significant number agreed to tithe. Much good in this world could be done with that. And we can do that. We can do it even if we are denied use of the bankers' usury cards. We need another $500,000 a year donation, or several folks giving $5,000 or $50,000, so that we can expand our growing community in Tennessee, where our chairman, William White Williams, is putting in all his life energy and so much of his personal wealth into buying land, breaking ground, and taking all the needed regulatory steps, etc., for the William Pierce Memorial Library, fighting legal battles, setting up housing for our small but growing staff, running our Cosmotheist Books operation, and so much more. With that money, we could build decent housing for our staff, build a library building without peer, with space for resident scholars and media production, lay in the infrastructure needed to survive and thrive in the dark and dangerous times ahead, provide the necessary security precautions for all these facilities, and so much more. A racially conscious, self-sustaining community in the white redoubt of the High Alleghenies, providing employment for its adult members, education for its children, and spiritual guidance for all of these. That is a goal worth working for, worth sacrificing for. It can become the nucleus of something much greater, a planet-wide racial community, not only a racial state, but a superstate, a state, in fact, that can transcend the bonds of Earth, if we do right, right now. And with state power projected over space, our living space, and projected over time, we can rout the enemies of our people and set ourselves and our children and our children's children once again on the upward path ordained for us by the Creator.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, We should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth, and compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. There's no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life just like here could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into our Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people And the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.